I'm April Cummings with your latest news. Fire crews have spent much of the day battling a massive blaze at the Georgetown landfill, with smoke visible across parts of the Capitol this afternoon. We've even seen the smoke outside the Radio Cayman studios. We'll hear from the Minister for Home Affairs, the Honorable Nicholas DaCosta, in just a few moments, but we begin with Radio Cayman's Elizabeth Charles.
The blaze, which started earlier this afternoon, affects a large area of the landfill and has been treated as a critical incident due to its scale and potential for smoke and other impacts on surrounding neighborhoods. Fire crews have spent the afternoon attacking the flames from multiple angles, using heavy equipment and water supplies on site to contain the fire and prevent it from spreading further. They are also working to knock down thick pockets of smoke, which can drift across nearby roads and communities depending on the wind. People living in areas where smoke is present are being advised to limit outdoor activity, especially if they have respiratory conditions. The fire has also created major traffic headaches. The section of Easterly Tibbetts Highway closest to the landfill remains closed, and traffic continues to divert through West Bay Road and Industrial Park. Even at this hour, drivers should expect delays on those alternate routes and plan for a longer commute. Education officials say school buses, particularly those serving West Bay, have been delayed by the congestion. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Elizabeth Charles.
The Honorable Nicholas DaCosta, meantime, released an audio statement late this afternoon.
This incident underscores the critical role our fire service plays in protecting our communities, particularly in complex and high-risk environments such as the landfill. I want to commend the Cayman Islands Fire Service and collaborating agencies for their swift and coordinated response in the face of a challenging situation. Our priority remains the safety of the public.
Minister DaCosta also appealed to the public once again to avoid the area, use alternate routes, and said all necessary resources would be deployed to support containment efforts and minimize the impact on surrounding communities. The People's Progressive Movement, the PPM, meantime, canceled its listening tour meeting, which was scheduled for tonight at Seafarers Hall, because of the fire and traffic disruptions, and said a new date will be forthcoming. In other local news, the Cayman Islands government says public bus fares have not gone up. The Ministry of Planning, Lands, Agriculture, Housing and Infrastructure today confirming Cabinet has not approved any fare increases, even though some operators have signaled plans to charge more. The Public Transport Unit has ordered all omnibus operators to remove any notices advertising higher fares and reminds them that only approved fare tables should be displayed. Passengers who see unapproved fare notices are urged to note the bus number and then report it to the Public Transport Unit or visit caymantransport.ky for contact details.
There's a looming disaster that's coming the longer the war in Iran continues.
As global gas prices continue to spike in the face of an extended U.S.-Israeli war with Iran, local opposition MPs want government to take some steps to protect Cayman's fuel consumers. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller has more.
When lawmakers return to the House on April 29th, they're expected to debate a private member's motion from Georgetown MP Roy McTaggart that will ask government to consider relief for residents in the form of a, quote, rollback of taxes on the consumption of fuel, including cooking and diesel gas.
You are starting to see some of it in the form of increases in fuel prices at the pump. That really is going to put a big squeeze on people, not just the citizenry, the ordinary man on the street, but businesses as well that are going to, you know, have to face this increase.
The motion will suggest government bring the duty rate down to zero, quote, temporarily.
At least to the end of the year. Let's see where we are and where we get to, because this war shows no sign of abatement and ending. A lot of the negative effects of it are yet to be felt and fall through to the Western world.
Mr. McTaggart's motion would also support government monitoring the fuel providers to ensure any duty relief would be passed on to the customers. And fellow Georgetown MP Kenneth Bryan told Radio Cayman's For the Record listeners his side will also ask a parliamentary question about Cayman's current fuel supplies.
It's not only about fuel for CUC. It's fuel at the pump. It's your cooking gas, diesel for boats. We're talking about the effect on businesses as well as homeowners, because we know there's a ripple effect. And if there's any way that we can stop that ripple from getting any heavier and that wave of inflation that we see coming, we have to do something.
Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
Parliament resumes on April 29th, and you'll be able to listen to the proceedings live on our sister station, Breeze 105.3 FM. A mix of new leadership and continuity comes to Cayman's immigration boards. The Ministry of Caymanian Employment and Immigration has announced a fresh round of appointments and reappointments through the end of 2026. Radio Cayman's Paula Cal reports.
The Ministry on behalf of Workforce Opportunities and Residency Cayman, or WORK, has confirmed appointments across all four immigration boards: the Work Permit Board, the Caymanian Status and Permanent Residency Board, the Business Staffing Plan Board, and the Cayman, Brac, and Little Cayman Immigration Board. At the Work Permit Board, Jerry Wood returns as chairperson, joined by Aniki Hill as deputy chair, and several reappointed members. New faces include Ingrid Ebanks, Shalene Sebaya, Cheryl Beckford, Carla Sue McLaughlin, Sharon Smith, and Savretta Harvey. The Caymanian Status and Permanent Residency Board continues under Jacqueline Terry as chair and Farah Miller as deputy chair, with two new appointments, Angela Martins and Krista White. The Business Staffing Plan Board sees the biggest shift, with Eddington Powell stepping in as chair, Juliet Dufieux as deputy chair, and several new members, reflecting changes in the board's mandate. And in Cayman, Brac, and Little Cayman, Demi McLean remains as chair alongside a mostly reappointed team. The ministry thanked outgoing members for their service and says the full list of board members is available online at work.ky. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Paula Cal.
The new appointments take effect immediately and will continue through the 31st of December. Workforce Opportunities and Residency Cayman released the March Jobs Report. Radio Cayman's Dion Anglin has the breakdown.
There were nearly 2,000 local jobs advertised in March, with the vast majority of those coming from the private sector. That's up from about 1,700 in February and more than 540 when compared to March 2025. 1,931 of those job advertisements were for Grand Cayman, 41 on Cayman Brac, and 12 on Little Cayman. Only 24 job postings were for the public sector. Construction jobs represented 17% of all postings, followed by accommodation and food service and administrative and support service, both with about 14%. The highest paying job postings in March were recorded by managing directors and chief executives with an average annual salary of $305,000. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Dion Anglin.
You can find out more at gov.ky. The Mosquito Research and Control Unit's aircraft section is conducting aerial larvicide operations over coastal wetlands in West Bay tomorrow and Monday, weather permitting. MRCU's Kevin Wattler says the goal is to treat mosquito breeding sites before larvae develop into biting adults that can travel several miles into nearby communities.
Seasonal tidal shifts have begun, creating favorable conditions for the Aedes tinuricus mosquito, which many people refer to as the black salt marsh mosquito. Now, they lay their eggs in the swamps and along the dikes, and as the tide starts to raise this time of year, the eggs are triggered to hatch.
By striking at the larval stage, MRCU aims to blunt those hatch-offs before they reach their peak.
Larvicide treatments are timed to stay ahead of these cycles, which each application is effective for approximately 6 weeks, and that allows us to stay ahead of the cycle and break the cycle, as well as reduce any large emergencies. It doesn't mean that mosquitoes won't emerge. They'll always emerge, but instead of, let's say, billions to trillions emerging at one time, you might have hundreds of thousands to millions at one time. And then once those emerge, we will then use our adulticide product to eliminate them.
The black salt marsh mosquito is one of Cayman's most aggressive and annoying species, and it's a known carrier of heartworm in dogs and cats, though it's not a disease vector for humans here. In line with National Heartworm Awareness Month, MRCU and the Department of Agriculture's Animal Protection and Enforcement Unit are urging pet owners to keep up to date on heartworm prevention. Residents can report mosquito problems to MRCU at gov.ky and always find more on the MRCU website and social media platforms. That is your latest news. I'm April Cummings. This is Radio Cayman's Newsroom.